is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
All right, let's get to that waiver wire. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Tuesday show on September 25th. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, and Heath Cummings. I gotta say, it's gonna be tough to top week three. Week three was an awesome week of football. React to that very obvious statement.
It was not fun for us from what we do for a living.
Why?
Because there was a lot of bad calls.
It wasn't fun if you were watching the Titans-Jaguars game. In an era where, like, it's commonplace for teams to score four touchdowns per game, they totaled five field goals.
So it's nice. It's a nice, like, a refreshing mix in of defense there.
No, it hurt
my
eyes.
Can you imagine watching that game and not being able to watch, like, Saints Falcons or Chiefs, who they play?
How about watching any other game? Literally any other game.
Well, I mean, that three. Dallas game was pretty bad, too.
Oh, that was a tough game.
There were some
watch.
Big plays in that game. How many big plays were in the Tennessee-Jacksonville game? There were, like, none.
Yeah, I'm old school, Dave. I like that stuff. No, actually, I thought it was a great game. The Thursday night game was so fun. The fans were great in that game. The fans were great last night. Really fun game. Let's hope week four is the same. We're going to talk about waiver wire priorities. We're going to recap Sunday night and Monday night. And let's get right to it. Who are your top three or so waiver wire priorities for fantasy week four?
I think it depends what you need, because there's probably a lot of need for quarterbacks given the two teams on a bye and the loss of Jimmy Garoppolo for the season. So quarterback could be a huge priority, but it's very wide receiver heavy this week.
Yeah, you got to start with Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd.
Well, Ridley's owned in too many leagues.
So if you can't get your hands on him,
well, let me just stop there, because Ridley is owned in 72% of leagues. John Brown is owned in 78% of leagues. There are actually a lot of running backs who are in the, like, 70 to 78% ownership range. Like
there's
Aaron
only three,
Jones.
Though, that I would say.
Okay, well, so, like, Aaron Jones, Bilal Powell, Chris Carson, Marlon Mack, Rashad Penny, Alfred Morris, Tariq Cohen. You know, Jamie, for the waiver wire purposes, he usually looks at 65% owned or less, right? Is that the cutoff?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the 10-team leagues are going to find those guys like Calvin Ridley available. 12-team leagues, for the most part, are not.
For the most part. But what I'm saying is, with all those running backs, maybe there's a chance you look at your waiver wire in a 12-team league, one of those guys is there.
Yeah, I would say Jones, Powell, and Carson are the three. The rest of them, I don't think, are going to be very popular.
What about Marlon Mack? Not interested?
Can he play?
I don't know, but they need a running back there.
Yeah, go trade for Le'Veon.
All right, so all I'm saying is we don't spend too much time on guys like Calvin Ridley, John Brown, but if they're available on waivers, you know, they're obviously priorities. So, with that said, Tyler Boyd was a name I heard. Heath,
yes.
I don't think Heath Cummings has said one word. Are you going for, like, are we playing a game here, Heath?
I'm not playing any games. My top three would be wide receivers. We're looking at guys below 65%. I would go Tyler Boyd, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams.
Okay, Tyler Boyd, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams.
Good threesome.
Cool. Any other names?
No.
All right. There's got to be some. Packers DS.
There are. You're not making a beeline to Vance McDonald?
Not better than those three, though.
After that stiff arm last night?
That was the greatest stiff arm I think I've ever
seen. That's the greatest play of his career. It's the greatest play it would be of anybody's career, I guess. But like that was just a monster play.
Did you see Cam Hayward's reaction on the sideline?
Yes.
How did that not get more airtime? Like, I would have replayed that 10 times if I were ESPN. That was amazing. It was a really great play. How much fab would you throw down on, let's just say, Calvin Ridley or John Brown is available on waivers? How much fab for those guys?
The problem with that is there are so many of those caliber of receivers right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to overspend for those players in particular, and even the Boyds, Mike Williams, it's still amazing to me how much Chris Godwin is available. But it's 3 weeks now of just these guys and more of them producing at this level that you shouldn't overspend for them, but probably 10 to 15%.
It depends on how badly you need a wide receiver as well.
Because next week we're going to have, you know, probably a good Callaway game. We'll have a good, DJ Moore game. We'll have a good, you know, somebody.
D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah. Keelan Cole, somebody that people may drop. And then he gets back into the, you know, frame of good production. There's just so many of these type of guys. We'll have a Dallas receiver at some point. We'll have a Dolphins receiver, you know,
right,
not named Kenny
but
Stills.
But do you not see with Ridley, with Mike Williams, two first-round picks in the NFL draft, do you not see the potential for these guys to be in your lineup every week, be starting?
Absolutely. But I just think the point is, what are you committing to for what your budget is over the course of the season? So you should try and get them, absolutely, but don't overspend for them. Like, don't spend 50% of your fab. Don't spend 40%. You know, I mean, it's probably still in the, you know, 15% range at most.
Okay.
I'm thinking it depends on how thin you are at receiver and what you might need with the bye weeks coming up as well. And so you're not going to spend 40% of your budget on one of these guys, but what if you spent 40% on two of them and you kind of went hog wild to build that wide receiver depth, to have guys ready to go for your bye weeks and to get players on your squad that have been scoring at a crazy clip.
If you are the AJ Green owner, are you going to Tyler Boyd before, say, Mike Williams?
I am anyway.
Okay, then let me ask you this, Heath. If you're the Keenan Allen owner, are you going to Mike Williams before Tyler Boyd?
You know, it's probably something you should consider. It's not the way that my brain normally works, but yes.
Mm-hmm. I like Williams the best of that group, so I'm going to take him first anyway.
All right. So there are a lot of good wide receivers. Running backs, not so much. We'll give a brief overview of every position, but we're looking at Tyler Boyd, Mike Williams, Chris Godwin. There's also going to be Geronimo Allison. There's also going to be Antonio Callaway, who was just mentioned. I didn't mention Tyler Lockett. He's 74% owned. I'm sure if you need a wide receiver, we don't expect Doug Baldwin back this week.
Not as of now.
No. Yeah.
Now there's another guy scoring in every single game.
About to face a team that has not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver yet in the Arizona Cardinals. But they've faced Washington, the Rams, and the Bears so far. No touchdowns to wide receivers. But yeah, he'll be popular too. He's 74% owned. Lockett might be closer to 90, by tomorrow. Just a few things to promote. We got CBS All Access. I use it every week. It's no joke. That's how I watch the NFL on CBS games, my local CBS games. Go to cbs.com/NFL and try it for free. And just watch some football on your computer on whatever device, cbs.com/NFL. We got a whole bunch of podcasts that you should be interested in. Amazing College Football Podcast, the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast. We got a great wrestling/MMA/boxing podcast called In This Corner. We've got the Pick Six Podcast with Will Brinson, talking football. He gets Pete Prisco on, Lock and Fora. He gets Brady Quinn. He gets player interviews, gets great guys on all the time. Will Brinson. That's the Pick Six Podcast. You want a whole list? Go to cbssports.com/podcast. And of course, watch Fantasy Football Today. Live noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Watch it on CBS Sports HQ. That you can get on the CBS Sports app, on your Roku, on your Apple TV, on your Amazon Fire, whatever you use to watch those types of apps, download the CBS Sports app and watch CBS Sports HQ. Guys, you know, because I don't like the way I've been doing the show lately, where we wait too long to talk about a bunch of waiver wire players, can we get just a sneak peek at each position? We don't have to go in depth on the guys, but I just want to throw out some names at the top of the show. Let's start with quarterback and who you might be looking at on the waiver wire.
Andy Dalton.
Okay, a couple more. Maybe Keenum.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton should be the first one just based on his matchup and recent play. Great situation this week against Atlanta. Baker Mayfield, just with the opportunity to now be the starter, and decent matchup this week against Oakland. He's not my favorite. He's not even in the second favorite streamer for me behind Dalton, but he's certainly in the conversation for rest of season. Ryan Tannehill with the way he's been playing in the Patriots defense.
Cool.
So there's three for me.
Great. Running back. This is the hard one. Hopefully there's some of those higher owned guys like a Bilal Powell or something available, Chris Carson. But if not, what do we do at running back this week?
You pass.
Yeah, just don't go add anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have to add somebody from every position every week.
No.
But if you need somebody, go get Buck Allen.
Okay, Buck Allen.
That's about as good as it gets.
And I mean, there are, you know, deeper leagues for the injury replacement guys. Wendell Smallwood had a nice role and was productive with it with both the Giants rolls out. So if they are out again, you can look at him. And I don't think game script is going to favor Chris Ivory like it did last week where he had 23 touches. But he's the guy without LeSean McCoy.
I don't think we need to.
And then Jalen Richard in PPR leagues. I mean, he's got two games of the three that he's played with at least six catches.
Do you think the Bucs even give a sniff to Ronald Jones? And do you speculate by stashing him on your bench, especially if you drafted him and you let him go already? Do you go back to him thinking that maybe he's got a chance because Peyton Barber's been so bad?
It'd be hard for him to be worse.
Is it? I wonder, though, is it Barber or is it just the running situation?
Yes.
I thought it was a running situation in week one, but by now I think it's Barber.
Yeah, so that's not a bad idea, and we'll obviously talk about that game. And I don't think we have to talk about wide receivers. We've already done that. Tight ends to look at?
Benjamin Watson, Vance McDonald.
All the young, hot tight ends of the league.
And there's a chance Hayden Hurst can return soon for the Ravens. I don't know exactly what his role would be, given that they're using all their tight ends, but he should jump to the front of the list based on talent. But he could return soon from that foot injury.
Where's Ricky Seals-Jones ownership at?
He's
12% or something.
He's
right?
The fourth guy that I have on the list.
20%.
He's at 20%.
I think he's a decent streamer this week.
I don't like him this week, but I think just to see how he does with Rosen would be fun to watch. I mean, the targets are there the first 2 weeks, so hopefully they come back.
Tight end's not great either, but if you want maybe 6 points in non-PPR, Rhett Ellison, let's look at the last three games Rhett Ellison played without Evan Ingram. I'm going to include week 16 last year, the second to last game of the year. Ingram played 13 snaps, left with an injury. He had 4 for 60 on 7 targets. The next game he had 5 for 63 on 6 targets. And then last week, 3 for 39 and a touchdown on 9 targets. Rhett Ellison is unowned and deeply guy. He's on.
That
James
is interesting.
List.
That is an interesting call.
Yeah, I hope it's right. They're playing New Orleans. New Orleans defense has been pretty bad this year.
Do we know what the status is of Von Bell? Because that's one of the guys that would typically take turns covering a tight end. And if he's not there, that helps the matchup even more for him.
No, I do not know. But let's talk. Just give me a few DSTs we should look at.
I like the Seahawks at the top of the list for streaming DSTs this week against Josh Rosen.
Agreed. They're my favorite one. Packers.
Packers are my favorite, yeah.
I don't care what the Vikings did not do against the Bills. Back-to-back road games for them should be a good one. And then I think the Dallas offense is awful right now.
Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys have given up 5 sacks to Carolina, I think 6 sacks last week. The Giants didn't sack them. The Giants don't sack anybody, but you can get to the quarterback there. And then, you know, should the Vikings and Rams DST owners be looking for options this week, because both teams are banged up and they're facing each other on a short week? You know, what do you think?
There just aren't great options this week, and I would hate to give up one of those defenses for the rest of the year, and I'd hate to carry two defenses.
I don't mind the Rams just based on how bad the Vikings' offensive line has looked.
The only thing about them is like they probably don't have either of their starting corners.
Yeah, but I still think you're going to get after Kirk Cousins a little bit.
And that's usually the recipe for disaster for Cousins.
Can we talk about IDP?
They're not a top five option, but to your point, why get rid of them if you don't have to?
Let's still real quickly on IDP. If Sean Lee is out, I don't even know, maybe if he isn't, Leighton Vander Esch is somebody that you could look at linebacker. I went through our IDP league and just looked at some of the leaders, some of the guys I'm interested in picking up, but if anybody wants to add some names, I think there are two Cleveland defensive backs. That's a little tricky because you're kind of chasing turnovers. They've been forcing a lot of turnovers, but Denzel Ward and Terrence Mitchell can definitely help you out. Atlanta defensive back Brian Poole leads all defensive backs in tackles. Chargers defensive back Derwin James, he's owned in more leagues, but he's really good. He's a playmaker. And he's on bye this week, but Carolina defensive back Dante Jackson's having a really good year. Might be the highest scoring defensive back in our CBS league. Anybody else? I think Leighton Vander Esch, somebody that definitely might want to that you might want to look at this week. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. So Denzel Ward, Terrence Mitchell for the Browns, Brian Poole for the Falcons, Derwin James. Dante Jackson, and if you
I don't know how owned he is, but we talked about this last week. Robert Quinn for the Dolphins. William Hayes now out for the season with the ACL injury, and he's been good, not necessarily great in terms of tackles, but sacks should be he may get double digit sacks by the end of the season.
And do you realize how bad Aaron Donald has been? Man, just
for fantasy just in general?
For fantasy. He's got like 5 fantasy points in 3 games. Or maybe 7.
Well, you know, like unless you have to start a defensive tackle, you don't generally want to start a defensive tackle.
Yeah, well, we have
that
crazy
one
IDP
that was
league.
Drafted to be like a superstar for your team. Quinn's ownership is just 10%. So that's a good call if you need a defensive lineman.
I got an email to read. It's from Joey in Orlando. Thanks so much for the advice this week. I won the FFT FanDuel contest for $500.
Joey!
An additional $100 in other contests. We are taking my little girl to Disney World with the winnings. How awesome is that? See, if you win the contest, incredible. You get a trip to Disney, sort of. Let's see what his lineup was. He had Matt Ryan, Latavius Murray. Yeah, Latavius Murray. And he won. Gio, Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley.
That's why he won. Yeah, Ridley.
Robert Woods, Travis Kelce, Alvin Kamara, and the Cowboys DST. He had two duds, Cowboys DST and Latavius Murray, and he still won the contest with 190.36 fantasy points. $500 to the winner, $250 to second place, and actually a lot of people that get paid out. You might get like $10, but let's see how many people get paid out in this. 242 people out of about 1,200 entries. So go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Be like Joey. Win $500. FanDuel.com/FFT. And if you make your first deposit at FanDuel.com/FFT, you will get a $20 bonus on your first deposit. We love FanDuel. It's super fun. So happy that you guys are getting into it, and girls, and competing against us. We can do it every week for just $5, and you get that $20 bonus on your first deposit. FanDuel.com/FFT. Let me read an email. It's from David. Dave Richard, where's David from?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Would you rather lose by a super large margin or by 0.1, like I did last night?
Super large margin.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I don't have any preference. I don't want to lose.
I prefer, you know.
I'd like to win also. Yes.
Well, yeah. Like, if you lose by a super large margin, it probably means your team's terrible. So,
or you just had a bad week, ran into a monster.
If you were telling me that the points were the same, I'd rather lose. My total team points were the same. I'd rather lose by a lot. But obviously, you have to consider tiebreakers as well. So you want to score a lot of points. But yeah, I'd rather lose by a lot. I hate losing by a point or whatever. It ruins my night. Also, David,
what, your night? What does it do to your night?
Ruins my night. Also, David writes in the email, Adam, wait, just wait. Hey, Adam, wait, wait. Get a goodbye.
Do you know that people are calling not just our radio show on Saturday night and doing that, but other radio shows that I'm on?
That's awesome.
And they say, hey, Jamie, I got a question for you. This guy or this guy, got to go bye.
That's great. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo's out for the season with a torn ACL. They're at the Chargers this week. The Chargers DST, by the way, is like 75% owned, so they might be available. I'm assuming you like them.
That's, love them.
Yeah, yes.
There you go. Matt Breida has a hyperextended knee, and Alfred Morris has an ankle injury. I don't think the 49ers are going to do very well this week. But
are they the most cursed team this year?
They look to be that team.
They're the Chargers of the NFC.
So, yeah, do we expect...
Or the Chargers is the most cursed team.
Do we expect these guys to play? Breida and Morris?
It sounds like Morris for sure. Breida, at this point, who knows if they want to risk him at less than 100%, given that they're probably not going to win. I wonder if they just start to do the tank situation of just getting better draft picks.
Well, they're tanking whether they're trying to or not.
And by the way, Alfred Morris is 69% owned. So nice. If Reed is out, I mean, he could get 20 carries. He gets 14 every week. We got Adrian Peterson. He sprained his ankle. He's expected to play after this week's bye. Evan Ingram was week to week with an MCL sprain. Anthony Miller dislocated his shoulder. He's day to day. Rex Burkhead left with a neck injury in the second half. Jamie already mentioned William Hayes, Miami defensive end. He tore his ACL, but they're also going to be without Andre Branch, another defensive end. Probably don't need those guys at the Patriots, right?
Branch, big bounce back coming for Brady.
I hope so. Branch is out indefinitely. Green Bay defensive end Mohammed Wilkerson out for the season with an ankle injury.
That's sick. Packers defense is really beat up right now.
Right, because Kevin King, if he doesn't play...
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that could be bad for them.
And they were bad at middle linebacker. Clay Matthews is getting flagged every time he touches a quarterback.
Yeah, we still like the DST, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't love them.
I do. I really don't. Have you seen the video of the, I think it's husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend of the
how to sack a quarterback?
Really funny. What else we got here? Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters are going to miss this week's game. Talib's going to be out at least a month. Could be out for a while. Frank Reich said he's not worried about Andrew Luck's arm.
He's lying.
That makes one of us. Richard Sherman's out 2 to 3 weeks with a calf injury. They have the Chargers this week. Josh Rosen's going to start for Arizona. Hayden Hurst could be back maybe next week. He's going to practice this week. Could practice this week. Greg Olsen says he's way ahead of schedule. The Colts are now down to their third right tackle. I'm going to skip around here. We got to keep an eye on Tremaine Brock for Denver. He left with a groin injury. He's day-to-day. I think he should play. Same with Adam Jones in that Monday night matchup against Kansas City. Saints cornerback Patrick Robinson reportedly has a high ankle sprain. That's usually a multi-week thing. The Eagles could be without Rodney McLeod, their safety at Tennessee this week. And the Chiefs could be without Dee Ford, their linebacker, their best pass rusher at Denver. Do you expect the following players? Here's the big stuff. Leonard Fournette.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
LeSean McCoy.
Nope. Also not yet.
Dalvin Cook.
Nope.
Joe Mixon.
Sorry, same answer, no.
Jason LaCofora reported there's a chance he could play this week, but I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Devontae Freeman.
If they didn't play this week, we don't expect them next week yet.
Okay, how about...
Although Fournette and Cook do have a chance.
Yes.
Jack Doyle, Marlon Mack.
We need to see them practice.
I'm not expecting Marlon Mack to play ever again at this point.
Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles.
Now, those guys, there's a report out of Philadelphia that says that they're going to play. That at least they have a chance to play.
Okay, good. Alshon Jeffery.
We might
Jeffery.
Get them back.
Alshon?
Alshon? No.
No, he's not cleared for contact yet.
Josh Gordon.
I would be surprised if he didn't play at this point. I mean, we have no indication from the Patriots. We won't get one until like 90 minutes before kickoff if we're lucky. But after what their offense looked like on Sunday night, I'd be surprised if they didn't put him out there.
I think it is time now for our idiot moron move of the week, and I am going to win again. Wait until you hear what I did, but first. You really did it. I can't believe this.
Look at him. I have a picture to prove it.
You idiot. You are such an idiot. Like, what the hell is the matter with you? You moron. I hate you. Okay, idiot morons. I'm going to go last because you just won't beat what I did. But anything jump out at you guys? Your dumbest moves of the week?
I guess it has to be something that was actually dumb, right? It can't be that I have a two quarterback league with Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen and
correct.
Lost because I started the wrong one.
Right.
Okay. What if I started Sony Michel over Carlos Hyde?
Lost
20 points.
End
the game.
That's not so bad. All right. I'll give that a C on the idiot moron meter. Dave?
I lost to Heath. Oh, sorry, Dave.
Go ahead. I'm looking for my move.
I lost to Heath in our 2016 office league. Because we get bonus points for tight ends, so I kept Nick Boyle in over Wendell Smallwood, even though I picked up Wendell Smallwood with the intent on playing him.
Nick Boyle. Ouch. That's pretty bad. Dave?
So in an expert league, I was sure this week that Jesse James was going to be the better tight end in Pittsburgh and the guy that would have a good game, a good streaming tight end. Picked him up off of waivers, used him as a flex ahead of Danny Amendola, Michael Crabtree, and Wendell Smallwood. If I started any of those other three guys over James, I would have won. I lost by a point.
All right, here we go. I'm going to get the crown for this one. I did this last week in a few leagues, but it wasn't so bad. Or week two, rather. Week three, it was bad. I started Greg Zuerlein.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Yep, started Greg Zuerlein. Didn't realize it until about 7 p.m. on Sunday when I was looking at one of my scores. I said, oh, my God, I forgot to drop Greg Zuerlein. And I won. But cost myself some points there. So,
and really, more respect than points.
Yeah, I think I looked at my lineup so many times, and sometimes I think I just scanned past kicker. And I must have done that. So, started Greg Zuerlein. I'm an idiot moron. Detroit 26, New England 10. Detroit had the ball for 39 minutes and 15 seconds. New England for 20 minutes and 45 seconds. But you guys were hoping for the rookie running backs to break out a little bit. Sony Michel had 14 carries. Rex Burkhead had zero. And Kerryon Johnson had 16 carries. He had the first 100-yard rushing game since 1963 or something like that for the Lions.
Oh, come on.
What's it been,
Barry
5
Sanders
years?
Sanders had to have had at least one.
5 years or something?
70 games. 70-game streak without a 100-yard rush.
Reggie Bush was the last one. And LeGarrette Blount also had 16 carries, so that sucks, but Kerryon Johnson had twice as many yards.
He looks so much better.
He is so much
better than anybody on that field in some cases.
So who do you like going better, going forward? Sony Michel or Kerryon Johnson?
How can it not be Kerryon?
I love him this week. I think he's number one running back.
Ooh. My only hesitation with that is that Rex Burkhead's currently injured, and Kerryon Johnson still in this game got 50% of the carries.
Right.
Yeah, I still believe that the Lions will refuse to give Kerryon Johnson the full workload. Like they're still going to use somebody else.
Sure. I just like the Sean Lee less Cowboys in a game where they can they're not going to be behind. And if they are, it's not going to be by much. So they can run the ball here with a lot of success.
That game feels like it could be such an eyesore.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
Every Dallas game, I guess, is going to be boring.
Yeah. Dallas Cowboys play bad football.
Boring football. Yeah.
Oh, bad right now.
They're not so good.
I think they feed Zeke this week.
Oh, yeah. Zeke's going to get 30 touches.
Yeah.
That's
what Kerryon Johnson should get.
That's going to be the key to this game is the first couple of drives for Kerryon, because if Dallas gets out to a 10-0 lead, then it's going to be Stafford winging it again.
How would you rank the Detroit wide receivers going forward?
Galladay. This is just how I'm ranking him this week, so I'll say it moving forward. Galladay, Jones, Tate in non-PPR, and Galladay, Tate, Jones in full PPR. And the better that the run game works for Detroit, the worse it'll be for Golden Tate.
I'll go Tate, Galladay, Jones in non-PPR, Galladay, Tate, Jones in... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I switched that.
The other way around. Yeah. Tate, Galladay, Jones in PPR, Galladay, Tate, Jones in non-PPR.
Same.
Galladay looks like a really good player.
really good player.
Yeah.
Very talented guy. That's awesome stuff. And then, you know, everybody's down on Chris Hogan. He's on the drop-o-meter. We'll talk about that. I get it. Makes sense. But I think this game was really more about Brady. I mean, Brady had 133 yards. Hogan led all
this
wide receivers.
This game or the season?
This game.
He has 14 targets in the season.
And here comes Josh Gordon.
I get that. This actually wasn't that bad of a game for Chris Hogan when you look at proportionally what he did. He was by far the best wide receiver on the team.
They can't get open.
That's the other thing. He's playing the slot. He's not a slot receiver. Like, he'll probably, if Josh Gordon weren't there, I would actually maybe be optimistic about Hogan once Edelman comes back. But now that Gordon's there, I mean, should you drop him?
I would disagree, Adam. I think he is a slot receiver. We talked about this before, too. He's had a lot of success playing out of the slot.
I don't know. They were talking about that on the broadcast. It's not really...
He's not a natural slot player. They put him in the slot because of how they operate, but he's not a natural slot guy.
They've been doing it for the last year and three games, so there must be something to it. I think he's a good receiver who can line up anywhere, who just hasn't gotten the targets.
Okay. So let's go to our next game here. We're talking about Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay. But I got to talk to you about Honey. This is a really, really cool feature and something that can save you a lot of money. You're shopping online, right? Everybody shops online. Do you suddenly turn into a tab hoarder? You got dozens and dozens of new tabs on your browser. You're looking for a promo code. You're searching for promo codes, just one that's going to work. And if you just use Honey, you're going to save yourself a lot of money. Honey is the free browser add-on that over 9 million people are using every day to save money while they shop online. I had not heard of Honey until they became a sponsor. And so I went to this website, honey.com/FFT. It's honey.com/FFT. You can get it for free. It takes 2 clicks to install. You will have this on your browser immediately. And then you start looking at your websites. For me, it was chewy.com. I was looking for cat food and litter and stuff like that. And while you do that, Honey scans and tests millions of coupons in the background. This is a really, really cool thing. And then at checkout, Honey automatically applies the best coupon. Time Magazine calls Honey basically free money. And that's why over 9 million people are using it. And together they've saved millions of dollars. So I didn't know how this worked. It's very, very cool. It's very easy. You don't have to do anything. You just go to honey.com/FFT and then you do your online shopping. And you let Honey find you the coupons, and you save money. So give it a shot, everybody. Honey.com/FFT. It's free. It takes just 2 clicks. It will save you tons of money. Honey.com/FFT. Start saving today. Pittsburgh, 30. Tampa Bay, 27. Your thoughts on Ryan Fitzpatrick going forward?
He should play one more game maximum.
You think he's done after next week?
I think he should be.
Just based on last night?
I don't think that last night was Fitzmagic. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick. He put his team in a big hole, and then he scored a bunch of points when he was down by two or three scores.
But what about the first 2 weeks, though?
He was awesome.
He's now thrown for 400 yards in three straight games. That is the first quarterback to do that.
Yeah.
By the way, two of the three interceptions he threw were not his fault.
Right. And I feel like the perfect storm is still there for him. The line is still doing a good enough job. I know he was sacked three times, doing a good enough job to keep him upright. His receivers are great, even though DeSean Jackson didn't come through like he has in the first.
And Godwin had some bad drops.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And a fumble.
And the run game sucks. So as long as all those things are happening, Fitzpatrick's going to give you numbers like this. It'll come down to what their record is, because he might continue to put up numbers like this. And if the Bucs are suddenly 2-2 or 2-3, then they can make the switch. And then I guess it would be Jameis who would be in line to get these kinds of numbers.
If they lose and he plays poorly, they'll make the switch. If they lose and what happened last night happens, they're probably not making the switch. Because as much as he was at fault, he also gave them a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made some really good plays at the end. What do you think about DeSean Jackson, 96% owned? Now they're at the Bears and then they have a bye. Would you drop DeSean Jackson for Chris Godwin?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd drop him for about seven of the receivers on waiver wire.
Okay. O.J. Howard, he got eight targets.
We got what we wanted from him, right?
Yeah,
Adam?
But 50 pass attempts for Fitzpatrick. So, you know, you got to look at the eight targets, I guess, with a slight grain of salt.
And it comes in a game where Cameron Brate scored, too. That's right. The funny part about it.
Yeah, 72 yards for – he's so good. 73% owned, I mean – I think that's kind of a good ownership rate for him, right? He's not a must-own, must-start guy, but when
he's a must-own guy, because if this continues, then you don't want to miss out on it if he's still available.
Okay. Yeah, I would. I think he's probably a top 10 tight end this weekend.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly when you look at the guys we're going to be talking about on waivers, like Benjamin Watson last week, like Will Disley, you know, Jesse James.
And to be fair, his floor so far through 3 weeks has been 7 PPR points, so he's not killing you even with the lack of targets.
I kind of feel like O.J. Howard is happening.
It's what Dirk Cutter told Prisco. His two guys that he expected to take the leap were Godwin and Howard. And Godwin's there, and Howard looks like he's getting there.
I'm not sure if I asked you this, but would you rather have Godwin or Calvin Ridley?
Godwin.
Godwin.
Godwin around. All right, last thing for the Steelers. Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster, rest of season.
Oh.
Antonio Brown or Michael Thomas, rest of season.
Michael Thomas.
Thomas.
No, Brown.
Yeah, obviously Thomas.
Obviously Brown.
So do you think that he breaks the record for receptions, Michael Thomas? He needs to get 8 more a week on average to tie it.
I'm always going to bet against people breaking records.
He needs 8 catches per week?
Yes.
The only thing that'll stop him is if he gets hurt.
Well, their offense could change slightly with Ingram back.
The thing they're doing, they don't like any of their receivers, and they're moving him around a lot.
Mm.
And I think what we're seeing with a lot of these number one wide receivers that had bad weeks in week 3 is that teams are just scheming them away, or they have an elite corner that plays outside that can take him away. It's harder to do that with Thomas because they love to put him in the slot.
He's awesome, no doubt. Last year, I just want to look up a stat real quick. Last year, the Saints were 13th in rush attempts. And just out of curiosity, let's see where they are right now. They are 27th. So it's just a matter of what's going to happen when Ingram comes back. But
Ingram makes a little difference. I think a bigger difference is, is this defense ever anything close to what it was last year?
Good point. So fine, take Thomas over Antonio Brown, but are you concerned about Antonio Brown?
I mean, concerned about him being a good fantasy receiver? No. Concerned about him being the best fantasy receiver? Yes.
Absolutely. Because Juju,
he's awesome.
he's awesome. And he has seen, Jamie and I were excited about him, hoping he'd get up to 20% of the targets this year. He's at 27% now, and that's holding steady.
I still think Dave was right. It's going to be a Steelers receiver that's
right, suffering. Right. But it's going to end up being Juju instead of AB?
No. It's going to be AB instead of Juju, the one suffering.
No. And I was saying that it's going to be Juju who's the better one instead of AB. He has four fewer targets than Brown. He has three more catches than Brown. He has 146 more yards than Brown.
But we're not taking him over Brown. We're not.
I currently have him ranked over Brown this week.
Wow. I'm not there yet, but.
If the Ravens had one really good corner, I'd agree with you.
The Ravens typically do pretty well against Antonio Brown, right?
It's been hit or miss.
I don't know. They're at home. It's hard to get away from them.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'm thinking of AJ Green. Well, definitely AJ Green the Ravens typically do well against until this year. All right, anyway.
Jimmy Smith research. You don't do enough of that.
Yeah. This is the last time I'll be able to use it. Let's go to drop-o-meter or quarterbacks. We can do the drop-o-meter real quick. Randall Cobb, 0 to 10.
I like the matchup for him this week. The slot receivers against the Bills have been very, very good.
Yeah. I like the matchup for him last week, and he stunk.
In PPR, I'd say it's a 0. In non-PPR, it's a 4.
But you're not going to start him with a ton of confidence.
It's just there's so many of these receivers. You look at the guys who you would put in the number 3 receiver category, and he does not win a lot of those head-to-head comparisons because he has one good catch on the season.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Right. So you'd much rather go with a Boyd, a Godwin, a Mike Williams ahead of him.
Right. But if there is...
And I think that makes him droppable.
If there is a chance. I mean, you look at what... Tre'Davious White followed Stephon Diggs last week, and he's done a good... He did a good job in slowing down Diggs, and Thielen just fed. And so is he going to follow Davante Adams? Probably. You're not benching Davante Adams, but this is a... You know, like, I'd play Cobb and Daly for sure.
The Bills, it's a good call. The Bills have been good against receivers this year and were very good against them last year. I mean, they have a good secondary. It might be the only thing that's good. Michael Crabtree, 0 to 10.
He's in the same boat as Cobb.
Yep.
Okay. I don't really want to drop Crabtree. This is another guy with a very good matchup this week.
Derrick Henry.
0.
You have to wait him out.
Corey Davis. Yeah.
I think you could do it in smaller leagues.
I think you could do it in 12-team leagues, too. Again, these guys that are playing at the level that they're playing at right now in pass-heavy offenses are in better situations than Corey Davis. So, yeah, he's like a 7 or 8 for me.
Rex Burkhead.
6 or 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see. If he's not practicing on Wednesday or Thursday, then, yeah, it goes up to that high.
Larry Fitzgerald.
0.
Non-PPR smaller leagues, 11.
Okay.
11. He's the targets aren't there. He's a touchdown dependent, volume needed, slow receiver.
Well, let's do Chris Hogan next.
I think the one thing with Fitzgerald, which was why I'd take a wait and see approach, is young quarterbacks lock in on one guy. And now you have he played well in week 1, hamstring injury week 2, didn't finish the game. And how healthy was he in week 3?
He played well in week 1, but to Dave's point, he had like 7 for 70. That's not that good in a non-PPR league.
But if that's the floor.
It's not the floor.
But it's not.
but if that is the floor. I mean, again, he's been banged up and his track record suggests that he's better than that.
That's been his floor for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but this year it's been his ceiling.
All right, I got to move on. I think it's worth waiting and seeing. It could be Christian Kirk that Josh Rosen likes.
It could be.
Ricky Seals-Jones,
too. Did we do Chris Hogan yet?
Chris Hogan, 0 to 10.
100.
Wow. You know, I really think that his future is not looking good at all.
His past doesn't look good.
You're right. His past, well, I mean, 2 touchdowns was pretty nice, but with Josh Gordon coming, Julian Edelman coming, his targets aren't going to bounce back up.
His last game with 80 yards receiving in the regular season was week 14 of 2016.
I want to get into the waiver wire now, but I will tell you something that I actually did yesterday. I tried on my Tommy John shirt. I got my shirt and my boxers. They're amazing. I tried on my Tommy John shirt, and then I put back on another T-shirt that I was wearing, and the difference was just so obvious, just so much more comfortable. Feels really, really nice. And go to TommyJohn.com/FFT. All right, guys, girls, you're in the market for some clothes. You need some underwear. You need T-shirts. You need dress shirts, a whole bunch of stuff. Wait till you see the catalog that they have on TommyJohn.com. But go to TommyJohn.com/FFT and get 20% off your first order, and you get free shipping and free returns on all dress shirt purchases. TommyJohn.com/FFT. 20% off and free returns on all dress shirts. The dress shirts are awesome. They love these dress shirts. They're very excited about them. They've perfected the Stay Tuck dress shirts after 6 years and 200 different wear-tested prototypes. These will stay tucked in. They've got the InvisiGrip snap technology. You won't have to deal with any billowing or any bunching. You can stretch. You can twist. You can even put luggage on an airplane without restriction or any untucking. Get yourself some Tommy John clothing, whatever it is that you want. And again, they've got a great women's line as well. TommyJohn.com/FFT. 20% off your first order. That's awesome. And free shipping on the dress shirts, TommyJohn.com/FFT. All right, quarterbacks, we got Cam and Alex Smith on a bye. And we got Garoppolo and Tyrod Taylor out. Sam Bradford out. Marcus Mariota hopefully will be able to start this week. But anyway, Andy Dalton is at Atlanta. They are right now allowing the sixth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Last 2 weeks, Cam Newton and Breeze have torched them. We got Dalton. We got Tannehill. Mayfield, Keenum.
Eli.
Yeah, Eli against the Saints, who allow the third most fantasy, or the most points to quarterbacks, pardon me. We said Dalton was our favorite.
Yes.
Dalton's the favorite. Atlanta's secondary is all beat up. If Tack McKinley doesn't play, that means, because Deion Jones isn't expected to play either, that's four starters down for them. So their pass rush is weak. The back of their defense is going to be weak. And Andy Dalton has looked pretty good. He's only had one amazing game in fantasy, but he's got a nice floor. And in a game that should be high scoring, he should be able to find the end zone three times.
I hope so. But he does have the AJ Green question mark. I assume we're not going to be...
This is, of course, assuming that AJ Green's going to play.
Right. And Green said he was going to play. I would be surprised if he didn't.
Okay. So let's talk about the other guys. Who else do you like? Tannehill, Mayfield, Keenum, Eli, Flacco, Josh Allen.
Eli and Tannehill are both top 10 quarterbacks for me this week.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not there yet with either guy just because there's so many good quarterbacks, but there's a lot of upside with both those two in particular.
So, Heath, you want to expand on that? I guess... Eli, go ahead.
The one thing the Saints have done well so far is stop the run. And I don't think the Giants are slowing down the Saints' offense. Eli's going to have to throw a ton of passes against a beat-up secondary that's been awful so far.
My two concerns are this. Eli played like as well as he could possibly play last week, and he only scored 23 fantasy points.
Yep.
And Tannehill just doesn't throw the ball. He's averaging like 25 pass attempts a game.
No, but some of those pass attempts are way downfield.
Yeah, also some of them are like little shovel passes that get taken for a touchdown, so it's a little deceiving with the
points. It worked for Patrick Mahomes in week one. It can work for Tannehill in week four and beyond.
Tannehill's actually got four straight games with over 300 passing yards against New England. I just wonder, though, if they're just walking into a trap.
This game is maddening to try to project, because if you just look at the numbers, it tells you that the Dolphins should win this game. But it's so hard with our past history of New England, Miami to think that.
Yeah, not on the road. Like, the Dolphins can take them at home, but it'd be pretty surprising to beat them on the road. But you know, it's a big
this
game.
This
a
would
game.
Be this, the end of the era if the Dolphins win this game.
Because you look at New England, and what does it look like they're good at right now?
Not answering press conference questions.
I'm encouraged by Sony Michel, I guess.
Why?
Look, you're right, Heath, if you look at him. But also, we know you never panic on New England. You never panic.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they're going to lose. Yeah. But if they do lose for whatever reason, they're looking at a three-game hole against a Dolphins team that's played well.
All right,
and if they win this game, then they're the best team in the division.
And even you don't have to think the Dolphins are going to win, because if the Patriots are going to be ahead, that's even better for Tannehill.
Right. There's a difference between the Dolphins winning and Ryan Tannehill having a good game for fantasy.
That's true. Okay, so let me wrap it up with the quarterbacks.
They could do what they did to Watson week one.
If you need a long-term Garoppolo replacement or whatever, who's the guy to pick up for the rest of the season?
Dalton,
but you can't commit to him for the rest of the season. You're just committing to him until there's a bad matchup or there's somebody better off the waiver wire. I wouldn't be opposed to getting, how about the Ohio combo at quarterback? Dalton and Mayfield. And you start with Dalton, and then you see what you got in Baker Mayfield.
Just pick up Dalton for this week. You'll figure out next week's quarterback next week. There will be three more good streamers next week.
So here's the thing. Dalton actually, look at his schedule. At Atlanta, that's great. Miami might not be great. But then Pittsburgh, at Kansas City, Tampa Bay. He could be good in four of the next five games. Then New Orleans after a bye.
Like, and again, for the Dolphins, which is why I think Brady's in a good spot. They lost what is statistically their best pass rusher in Hayes, who's leading them in sacks. And they're down Rashad Jones, who I hope returns from that for that secondary, but is no guarantee. Mm-hmm. So if that defense isn't the same, it's not a bad matchup for Dalton there.
All right, let's go to the running backs now. Running backs.
You can just move on.
Well, I just want to ask you about Aaron Jones. Alfred Morris, 69% owned. Chris Carson's like 70% owned.
Sure, if you want to include that group.
Yeah, I think we should. Who's your favorite from that group? Aaron Jones, Bilal Powell, Chris Carson, Marlon Mack, Rashad Penny, Alfred Morris, Tariq Cohen.
Carson.
For this week, it's definitely Carson. Mm-hmm. It's not close.
What if Breida's out?
Still Carson.
Still Carson.
Okay. Is Aaron Jones a must own?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes, I think you should own both Jones and Williams. I don't think you should consider starting either of them this week.
And Powell and Morris. I mean, all those guys should be owned.
All right, so Buck Allen, he's getting, 11, 12 touches, but no more than 44 total yards in any game, but he's scoring, and he has 13 catches in three games.
That's the more important thing to me, is the 13 catches, because he's their primary pass catcher.
Yeah, you can reasonably start him in PPR and not have to count on he's going to score two touchdowns like he did last week.
And in this game where it could be high scoring, mm-hmm. he has the chance to be more involved than Alex Collins.
They are at Pittsburgh this week for Javoris Allen. Wendell Smallwood, this one could bite you if Ajayi or Sproles play, but he had 13 touches and 91 yards, I believe, and a touchdown. So great game for him. They're at Tennessee. They're not giving up a ton of fantasy points, I don't think, to running backs, but they are allowing 4.7 yards per carry to running backs. So Smallwood, maybe if somebody drops Corey Clement, you might want to pick him up too. Keep an eye on that. Chris Ivory had 20 carries last week, and they're at Green Bay. Like, this is sneaky. He had 20 carries last week. Now, you would expect the game script to be a little bit different, but Green Bay's allowed 90 or more total yards to a running back in all three games. So Chris Ivory, 10% owned. Any interest?
If I'm desperate at running back, yeah. Take him ahead of any Packer running back.
And he had 70 receiving yards.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, one was a busted play.
And that was about 60 of them, I think.
Yeah, right. But he had more targets and catches than Murphy. So he's going to be their featured back while Shady's out.
And if you're in PPR, Jalen Richard. And Theo Riddick's 40% owned. Could go for him. Let's talk about wide receivers. Spend some time here on the wide receivers. So we got Ridley. So the guys I put in that are more than 65% owned, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, John Brown, and Sterling Shepard. We haven't really talked about him, but Evan Ingram will be out. They get the Saints. I assume you'd be fine starting any of them, Ridley, Lockett, John Brown, Shepard?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I actually like Shepard and Brown the most this week.
Okay. So that brings us to Mike Williams, Chris Godwin, Tyler Boyd. Are we in agreement that in some order, Mike Williams, Chris Godwin, Tyler Boyd are your top three?
Yes. To pick up off waivers, yes.
And that's not including the Ridley group, just the 65%. They're actually all owned in less than 50% of leagues. Yes. Who do you like most long-term between Williams, Godwin, and Boyd?
Williams.
Williams has been my guy. He's been my guy all along, so I'm going to stick with Williams.
I'm going to go with Boyd.
So I looked at all the number two wide receivers in Andy Dalton offenses. There's only been one who's been really good for fantasy, and that was Marvin Jones, but he only had 712 yards. He had 10 touchdowns in 2013, and was the number 21 wide receiver in fantasy. But Dalton's on pace for 619 pass attempts, by far a career high. He's on pace for 4,600 passing yards. That would be by far a career high. So that's part of it with Boyd. We're seeing Dalton do stuff that he's never done before. What do you make of it?
He is throwing more. I don't know that I expect him to throw that many times. But, yeah, I think Tyler Boyd, I mean, you look at the list of number two receivers that have not been good, and it's not a very impressive list of names outside of that Marvin Jones year.
No, it's not.
So, and he is a third-year wide receiver. that is getting about 18% of the targets, catching a very high percentage of those targets, and has a good yard per catch average. That's a good combination.
Yeah, the other thing that's helping is usually the number two receiver for Dalton is a tight end, and that's just not happening this year. I'm pretty interested in Antonio Callaway. I know the final numbers weren't great, 4 catches for 20 yards, but he got 10 targets. He's a deep ball threat.
Yep.
He's really talented. He fell in the draft because of character concerns at Oakland this week. Callaway's 43% owned, and he's back-to-back on Jamie's list with Geronimo Allison. Who would you guys prefer, Callaway or Allison?
I would prefer Allison, since it looks like he's going to be the number two receiver in Green Bay. And I feel like Callaway is just a little too raw, and there's a lot of risk there with him, without his refined game, and with his quarterback. It's Baker Mayfield. It's one game he looked great, and I do think Baker has lots of upside. But am I going to take a receiver catching passes from Aaron Rodgers or a receiver catching passes from Baker Mayfield?
You know how much I loved Allison coming into the season. I think he's got a ton of upside, but I would take Callaway here just because I think there is a clearer path to consistent targets for him than there is for Allison, because we still haven't seen the best of Jimmy Graham. There is still going to be Randall Cobb, and obviously Devontae Adams is going to be their featured guy. So I think they're kind of similar because they both need big plays to be successful. But Callaway and Mayfield spent a lot of time with the second team offense. And so now that rapport should carry over to both guys being starters.
I feel better about Allison this week, but I don't feel good necessarily about him long term, just because he was 5th on the team in targets last week. He was 4th the week before. I don't know that he's going to be in the top 3 in terms of targets on this team.
He is 4th on the team in targets through 3 weeks. He's 1st on the team in yards, which speaks to his big play potential. He's got 5 more yards than Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Well, that was the one big catch last week, too.
Sure.
Yeah, 64-yard touchdown catch at Washington last week for Allison. All right, so I think we're probably reaching a point where it's like Williams, Godwin, Boyd, Callaway, Allison. There's going to be some excitement there to pick these guys up. And the rest of the list, you tell me. My interpretation is that not as much excitement. Jordy Nelson, Ted Ginn, Cameron Meredith, Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant.
You're right. Not a lot of excitement, and I think a lot of people will chase the Jordy Nelson numbers after what he did against Miami. I don't see that being consistent at all. I would be surprised if Jordy Nelson suddenly became a 6-catch-a-week guy for Oakland.
So who else can we go to if we need help? I mean, when you list the Saints receivers, Ginn and Meredith, and you list the Dolphins receivers, Wilson and Grant, you are looking at situations where could be high-scoring games.
Sure.
So, yeah, you want to comment on those guys? And are they worth a start this week, or is it just 14 teams or deeper?
I don't think any of them are absolute must-starts. Ginn's matchup is interesting against the Giants. Grant is interesting just because of his speed and how the Dolphins might give him more work as they move forward. So that's the guy you're picking up and using in deeper leagues. It's not someone that you're going with as a starter or as a flex in week 4.
I mean, amazingly, Grant does still lead the Dolphins in targets, and he does have enormous big play potential.
Okay. To tight ends, then. We've got Evan Ingram out, Jack Doyle out, Greg Olsen making progress, but still out, and Hayden Hurst most likely out. There are two tight ends that I put in more than 65% of leagues that you might be interested in adding. Eric Ebron will get Houston this week. They just gave up a touchdown to Rhett Ellison. For what that's worth, they were terrible against Gronkowski, and they faced the Titans in week 2. That doesn't count. So Ebron's 81% owned. I'm sure he'd be an attractive ad, even though I think he had 10 yards going into the final drive. Does anybody know that? I think he had 10 yards. And then the final drive, he had 3 catches for 23 yards.
And dropped 2 touchdowns.
He dropped 2 touchdowns, too. It was a bad game, but he's still somebody you're starting this week.
Yeah, don't drop Eric Ebron if you own him. O.J. Howard, we've talked about. He's 73% owned. Other than that, guys who are owned in less than 65% or less, Benjamin Watson at the Giants, who have not really been tested by a tight end, but probably will still struggle against them. Vance McDonald with a tough matchup against Baltimore. Hayden Hurst to stash. Ricky Seals-Jones. And Rhett Ellison, who I gave that stat earlier. You guys want to talk about Watson, McDonald, Hurst, Seals-Jones, Ellison?
Watson's you know, he missed a touchdown in week two. Drew Brees overthrew him when he was wide open. He had a great track record against the Falcons. He delivered with a strong performance. We sort of touched on this a little bit. He said they don't like the other options in the receiving game just based on how they're targeting Ted Ginn and Cameron Meredith. Watson's kind of shuffled between the third and fifth target on this team behind Kamara as well. But I think just given what his position is in an offense that's high scoring, and this week's matchup is somewhat favorable. If you look at it, the Giants, I know they haven't given up the big games to tight ends, but Safarian Jenkins should have had a touchdown in week one. You could say Niles Paul also in that same game. And then the tight end group for the Texans last week had over 115 yards, or had 115 yards receiving between the three guys. So there is some matchup potential here for him also.
Okay. And what about any Raven that you might go with this week? The Steelers have been terrible. Look, they face Kelsey week two, but they do allow the most fantasy points to tight ends.
The problem is that Boyle and Andrews are kind of chopping it up right now.
And Williams.
Yeah. You could start Boyle or Andrew. I prefer those guys over Williams, but it's a desperation move. It better be a 14 team league or deep.
And keep in mind, they play Monday, right? No, they play Sunday night.
It's Sunday night.
Sunday night. So, we should know what Hayden Hurst's status is if he is able to get some sort of practice time in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I think what's crazy is, like, if I get 5 fantasy points in non-PPR from a tight end, I'm not happy about that by any means, but I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. I suggested Austin Hooper as a streamer last week and really felt bad about it, and then he caught a 2-point conversion, and all of a sudden he was a good tight end.
He's going to be a real good tight end this week, like his matchup against Cincinnati.
Okay. So that's your waiver wire. DSTs, we've pretty much discussed. Kicker's kind of interesting. Let me just say the DSTs again in case you're looking for them. But the Seahawks, Packers, and Lions are three that you could definitely add. Also, the Chargers, 76% owned. And they were good in their one easy matchup at Buffalo. They've also faced the Chiefs and the Rams, so you give them a little bit of a pass, but they got the Niners. So Chargers, Packers, Lions, and Seahawks. Kicker is interesting because, like, Sam Ficken, I don't know if he's very good. He missed his only attempt, the 46-yard field goal. Last year, he made 2 of 3 field goals. That's a bad percentage. Chris Boswell, guys, like, where are you on Boswell? He is 1 for 4 in field goals this year.
Yeah, he's cuttable.
It's a shame, though, because he's on one of the best offenses in football. You like that, typically.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be fine. They paid him. They're not going to get rid of him.
No, but fantasy owners can get rid of them.
I like it using Fairbear this week.
Yep.
Alrighty. It's time for Team Name Tuesday. I know all you listeners out there, you're like, hey, Adam, do not forget Team Name Tuesday. And I did. But now I will remember Team Name Tuesday. Okay, let's find it in the notes. Team Name Tuesday, here we go. Kittles, taste the rainbow. Kittles, taste the rainbow. Hyde and Zeke, an oldie but goodie. Hyde and Zeke. Bean and Cheese Brita. I'm not sure I get that. Bean and Cheese Brita.
Are they trying to say Brita sounds like burrito?
Oh, but maybe.
Brie. Brie, the cheese. Brie.
But who has beans with Brie?
No, I think it's burrito. I think he's right.
Yeah, trust me. I'm fine.
Yeah, let's go with Dave on this one. I'm supposed to sing this one. I've got the power. Jones in for a good win. Sure, I'll take a good win. Curious case of Benjamin Sutton. I don't like that one because his name isn't Benjamin Sutton. It's Cortland Sutton, you know? Like, I don't get it.
Maybe they have Kelvin Benjamin and Cortland
Sutton.
Oh,
and there's a case in there, too. So
and
Case, Benjamin. Yeah. I like Sony Delight. Sony Delight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good one.
That might be the best one so far amongst this pack of
this is a bad week.
Pathetic team names.
And then Blade, Laser, Blazer, Michelle.
That's funny. It's creative.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Should we read a few emails? Go a little overtime? Yeah, let's read a few emails real quick. We can probably do this in a minute or two. From Sean, the Keenan Allen owner wants David Johnson straight up, half point PPR. Who would you rather have, David Johnson or Keenan Allen? It's a keeper league.
Johnson.
Allen.
It's
Allen.
A keeper league.
Receivers always have more longevity than running backs.
Andrew in Cincinnati, I have Burton and O.J. Howard. It's an 8-team half PPR league. Who do you like better rest of season?
Oh, everybody's pausing. Everybody wants to say Howard.
I like Howard better this week.
Well, I didn't ask that.
Who is it? Howard or who?
Burton.
Trey Burton.
Okay. Come on, give me an answer, everybody. Burton or Howard, rest of season?
Burton.
Burton.
Okay. I'll still say Burton, but I wouldn't. I'd rather have Howard this week.
Jeremy just offered Austin Eckler for Le'Veon Bell in PPR. Am I lowballing?
Kind of, but why not?
Yep, you are. I'm not sure the Steelers are going to get better offer than that.
Who would I'm you rather you, man, have?
Jason Leitch just walked across the field and said, what will you give me?
Yeah. Who would you rather have rest of season, James Conner or Le'Veon Bell?
Conner.
I'll say Conner.
Conner.
I'm going to lead with that question tomorrow in case people have tuned out by now. And this is from Brendan from the North. Hey, Adam, Jamie, Dave, and Little Bo Beef. I like that.
Little Bo Beef.
Chris Carson is on waivers. I need a running back. How much fab should I use on Chris Carson? How much fab would you use on Calvin Ridley?
I'd go 15 to 20% on Carson if you're that desperate for running back.
Right.
And 10 to 15% on Ridley.
21%, 15%. 21 for Carson.
Sure.
P.S. I won my league in baseball because of your baseball podcast. Just thought your football listeners should know it's the number one place for all your fantasy baseball needs.
Nice.
Wahoo!
That's how you get an email read.
There it is. Thank you, Brendan. And thank you all for listening. Thanks to Dave.
Wait. I got one more waiver wire guy.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Wait. Hold on. Let me look it up.
Okay. Who are we looking at?
Hold on.
Dave?
I'm just letting you
know. Oh, no.
Nah.